Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as you think about proceeding through life, do you ever feel somewhat powerless sometimes, like things are just out of your control? Let me give you a couple examples. What about with our nation? We can vote, we should vote, but is that really going to make a difference? Or what about people who are not saved? Yes, we can share the Word of God with them, but will that really make a difference? It's easy to give up on such things. Say, not going to vote, why bother? Not going to share the Word of God, why bother? It's not going to do any good at all. The devil, he wants us to give up, but God wants to instruct us with his truth, and he wants to empower us with his Spirit. He doesn't want us to go through life defeated. He wants us to know that with his truth and with his power, all things are possible. Today, as we celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven, we focus on our gospel reading, Luke 24, verses 44 to 53. And as we go through this reading, may God the Holy Spirit enable us to understand the instructions given by Jesus. May he enable us to be aware of the power that we have within ourselves as the holy children of God. And may the Holy Spirit also enable us to then take action to tell other people about this very important work of Jesus. What has happened just before today's reading? Jesus has come, he has lived, suffered, and died. Now he is our risen Savior, and he's about ready to give some very important instructions to his followers just before he ascends into heaven. You ever have that happen in life where maybe you only have like 1 minute to talk to this person and then your opportunity will be gone? It's kind of where Jesus was at here. He's about ready to leave and go back to heaven, so he's not mincing any words. He's talking about what is most important so we can focus on that now. Let's get what we can out of it. Let's know how important it is. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," in other words, in all the Old Testament scriptures, "must be fulfilled." During Jesus' time on earth, the New Testament had not yet been written. So when he talks about the scriptures, he's talking, of course, about the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had at that time. Now, it's true that the Old Testament does not include the actual living, dying, and rising of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that, but let us also understand that over and over again in the Old Testament, it is pointing ahead to the coming of the Christ and all he would do to take away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Think about this comment he made to some Jewish leaders as recorded in John chapter 5. Jesus said to them, "You search the scriptures," again talking about the Old Testament scriptures, "you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me," Jesus said. So of course Dr. Geisler has helped us so much, me as an individual, all of us as a congregation, to find Jesus in the Old Testament. And he is all over the place in there, even though if we're not paying attention, it's easy to miss him. But he's all over the place, and God keeps pointing to him over and over again about how he's going to come and how he's going to accomplish his work. And that is what Jesus is talking about with his followers right before he goes back to heaven. Then in verse 45, the Bible records that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. What does that mean? I think he opened their minds to be able to look into the Old Testament scriptures and to be able to understand, oh, that's talking about Jesus. Right here it's talking about Jesus. Right here it's talking about Jesus. So God enabled them to see all those amazing things. And then Jesus said to them, "Thus it has been written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance unto forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." So that is the essence of what Jesus did. How could we put that in other words? Jesus wants us to proclaim to others that he is the Christ. Thus, he is the promised Savior, the one promised to Adam and Eve, and then spoken of over and over again in the Old Testament. Jesus really did suffer much. He suffered physically. Also, he greatly suffered spiritually as he took every sin and all punishment for every sin. And then when his work was done, truly, he laid down his life. No one took it away from him. And then on the third day, God the Father raised him from the dead. Even Jesus said that no one takes his life from him. He has the authority to lay it down, and he has the authority to take it up again. Let us know with all confidence that Jesus did a truly finished work. So because it is finished, we should never ever try to add anything to it. We should know that it is all sufficient. He is the all-sufficient Savior. When we have him, we have the blessings of eternity. So now what? God wants us to know that the whole world is in desperate need of Jesus Christ, and the whole world is being invited to receive the benefits of what he did. And how do those benefits come? Did you catch what Jesus said? He said, "It is repentance unto forgiveness." Repentance unto forgiveness. So the question becomes then, what is repentance? Since repentance is before forgiveness, we better make sure we know what repentance is. If you follow in the service folder there, you'll see I have two uses of the term repentance. So repentance can be used in a narrow sense, it can be used in a broad sense, and you have to take a look at each reference in the Bible to know how it is being used. So the narrow sense, when we talk about being repentant, we're talking about being sorry for our sins. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe in the gospel." So notice what it says there, repent and believe. So because we have both of those words, repent and believe, repent means to be sorry for our sins, believe means to trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. So in that case, we're talking about repentance in the narrow sense. It doesn't include believing because we have the word believe over here, so it's just talking about sorrow for sin. And then we have the broad use, which includes both sorrow for sin and faith in Christ for the forgiveness of that sin. Note the example there in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Repent and live." So if we tried to substitute it either way, if we simply said, instead of repent and live, if we said, be sorry for your sins and live, would that be adequate? It wouldn't be, because it leaves out Jesus Christ. Or if we said, simply believe and live, now we're leaving out being sorry for our sins. So in this case, we're talking about repentance in the broad sense. So here, it's including both sorrow for sin and faith in Jesus Christ, because both are necessary in order to have the blessing of life, of eternal life. So repentance unto forgiveness, that becomes the key phrase here I'm focusing on. We all need forgiveness for heaven. We all want forgiveness. We all want to go to heaven. But Jesus said it is repentance unto forgiveness. So what I'm trying to say is that the repentance is important. We can't just skip over that and grab a hold of the forgiveness, but we have to have the repentance because the repentance is leading to forgiveness. It's repentance unto forgiveness. So let's understand that it is the Holy Spirit that is working through God's holy word in order to make us sorry for our sins. Now, some people have a worldly sorrow, but a worldly sorrow ultimately leads to death. It has to be a godly sorrow that ultimately leads to life. So a godly sorrow is a sorrow that God works in us, and he does that work by the Holy Spirit working through the word. So God makes us sorry for our sins. And really, what is the primary sin in all of life? Really, the prime sin is that we reject Christ as Savior. So unfortunately, many in the world are doing that for various reasons. Maybe they don't think he is the Son of God. Maybe they think they're good enough without the Son of God. For various reasons, they reject Jesus Christ as Savior. So the primary repentance is God showing us that we are lost, showing us that Jesus is the only way, making us sorry that we don't know him, and then giving us the gift of faith by which we receive him as Savior. There are many other ways to repent as well, but that is the main way of repentance. The main reason for repentance is to know Christ as Savior. We probably all know people that are in that situation that just don't get it. They don't quite yet know him. I would invite you to join me in prayer right now. Let's pray for those people. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have opened our eyes to the truth. You have shown us our sin. You have made us sorry that at one point in life, for all of us, even if it was before baptism, at one point we were all rejecting Christ as Savior, but we thank you for opening our eyes to the truth, showing us what Jesus has done for us, and giving us the gift of faith by which we trust him alone as our Savior. But we are concerned, though, dear Father, that there are many, many others that for some reason they just don't get it. They're well-intentioned people, and yet they think somehow that they're okay without Jesus. Or maybe they don't understand who Jesus is. Or maybe there are all kinds of other reasons. But we just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be merciful to them, that you would get their attention by your Spirit through your word, that you would show them their lost condition, that you would show them how much you love them, that you would show them what Christ has done for them, and that you would grant them true repentance and grant them that gift of saving faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then in verse 48, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." In other words, you are witnesses of my life I live for everyone, of the death I died for everyone, of my resurrection from the dead. You are witnesses of these things. So we could say that there are really two parts. It's a real simple thing. There are two parts. So we have Jesus' work of redemption, and that is done. And then we have our part of sharing with others what he has done. And that's an ongoing thing until finally he takes us home or until finally he comes again. So he did a real difficult thing, a real important thing. It's all done. We praise God for that. And he simply wants us to benefit from that, to rejoice in that, and then to take that good news and to share it with others. And then Jesus told about the Holy Spirit, picking up in verse 49. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So, of course, we understand that Jesus was looking ahead 10 days to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would be poured out. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and then the people having great power to be able to go forth and tell the good news. Do we have that same power? In fact, we do. Because in baptism, not only were we united to Christ, not only did we receive the gift of eternal life, but we also received the blessing of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So we have that power too. God wants us to know that we have the power to be able to go forth and to tell people the good news that Jesus is in fact God in human flesh. He lived for us. He died for us. He is our risen Savior. Through him is a way to heaven. And then finally, in verse 50, we get to his ascension. And the Bible says, "Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands while he blessed them, he parted from them." So as his hands were up in blessing, he ascends into heaven. So where is he now? We can't see him. But yet he wants us to know that he is our ascended Savior and Lord. He is reigning over all things for the good of the church. And the church would include you and me and all who know Jesus as Savior. Sometimes things in life happen and we're thinking, "Dear Jesus, I thought you were in charge, and why did that happen?" And it's hard for us to reconcile. But yet he wants us to know that Romans 8:28 is true, that God really does cause all things to work together for good to those who love God. So maybe we can't see it all the time, but let us know that Christ is up here. He is ruling and reigning. He's watching over us. He's at work in our lives, and that should give us great joy and also great peace. And then finally, it says in verse 52 and 53, "And they," talking about the disciples, "they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." So Jesus ascended, he left, but yet they weren't sad this time. They were sad when he died, but they weren't sad now because they understood who he is. They understood where he went. They understood what he's doing now, so they were filled with joy about that. We can be filled with joy about that too, knowing that our very own Savior, he is reigning for our good. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for finishing your work to remove our sins. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for coming to live within us in our baptism. We pray that you would help us to remember that you are present with us. We pray that you would empower us to tell others about Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection so that they might be convicted of their sins, and through repentance, they might also have the benefits of what he has done for us and for everyone. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.